Well, hello, fellow baseball nuts, and a big warm welcome to episode 5 of the Johnny and Josh Show. 5, of course, as in Channel 5. And the family are back together, and also a very interesting number, same number of World Series titles that the Pittsburgh Pirates have, which, of course, is 4 more than the Atlanta Braves have. I don't know who wrote this rubbish. As always, a great pleasure to welcome the boys. We've got Eric here, we've got JC. 3 guys, 3 cities, 3 time zones, 10 hours apart, but no Big Dave. Where's Big Dave, boys?
Apparently he's having a bad day. He's stuck in traffic with 2 screaming kids and a barking dog, and on a highway somewhere in New York where traffic isn't moving because there's a pile up somewhere. Nobody's hurt, but he can't be with us, unfortunately, today.
I mentioned Channel 5, and it's just not the same, is it? I mean, it feels like we've got a family member missing, like some grumpy teenager who's gone off to uni.
I know. The only element of this that's appropriate, Gouldy, is it's like 1:30 in the morning where you're at, which is perfect Channel 5 baseball time. You're like in the zone.
It is. You know, the only thing is, I haven't gone either. Where's Ivor? I need my coffee. I need my Mars bar.
You are such a prima donna. It was like, where are my sweeties? I need my sweeties. So, fifth show, got to pick your favorite number 5 player of all time. Who are you going with, Goldie?
Oh, it's got to be Joe DiMaggio, isn't it? I mean, not just a great ball player, but the man was married to Marilyn Monroe. I mean, how lucky can one man get?
I got to go for Jolton Joe DiMaggio, too, as well. Or George Brett, you know?
Maybe culturally for DiMaggio, and Brett, certainly a great hitter, but you're missing out on Albert Pujols, 21-year career.
Yeah, he's still playing. It doesn't count. You can't talk about some music.
All right, fine, Gouldy. If you want to go with someone else, we'll go with Johnny Bench.
We had to have a catcher.
For sure. Okay. The toil in the tools of ignorance need to trump. I don't have any other T words. I was going alliteration all the way. You get the point.
Bench the bench. That's what I say.
Johnny, how is Dubai, by the way?
It's fantastic, boys. It's I'm just having a quick look. It's 1:26 in the morning. I've just finished my gig for the ruler of Dubai, raising money for the 100 million meal that his initiative is looking to address for 30 of the poorest countries in the world, which includes the land of my birth, Kenya, which, as you both know, I love so dearly. So, yeah, a lot of fun. Sold some paintings, sold some religious artifacts. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars, guys. So a good night had on all fronts.
By the way, Johnny, is it true that I heard that people in Dubai don't like the Flintstones?
Is that right?
Yeah, but those in Abu Dhabi do.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Come on. Give it to me.
Wow. See, David goes away, and all of a sudden, Eric thinks he's the funny one. That's what happens.
I'm here all week.
But did you want me to go to Dubai so you could tell that joke?
It's one of the cleanest ones I know. It's a family show.
Eric knew some people in the royal family. He got you that gig just for the joke.
Exactly. By the way, I have some stats for you. Okay. Because we are now... unfortunately, just 3 of us in 3 different time zones in 3 different cities, you are exactly 7,768 miles away from Josh. Or it sounds better if you're doing kilometers with 12,501 kilometers. That's how far apart we all are.
Gold, if you come by, I'll get you a pint. I'll get you, you know.
Buddy, I love you, but 12,000 kilometers? I don't love you that much.
That's for sure.
Okay, well, we're only 10 minutes in and we haven't even done the COVID update. Yeah. So this is going to be a long show, that's for sure. As always, a great pleasure to catch up with you and great to have everybody listening in. Thank you to each and every one of you. The COVID update, well, I could tell you 11 major league ballparks have served as mass vaccination sites in the off-season present day. Unfortunately, it's not having the desired effect on the game itself. I know for a fact not all MLB teams have managed to vaccinate every one of their players, although 4 teams apparently have. I can't say which ones, but there are still problems. Twins are struggling. More added to the COVID IL list. I've got at least 3 players on my fantasy baseball team still on the COVID IL list. What's happening on the Canadian border? Is it still closed, Derek?
Canadian border is still closed. And what we do know now is that the Toronto Blue Jays are slated to play in Buffalo, their first homestand, on June 1st, maybe. Because right now, what they've done is they've torn down the right field and center field fence of Salem Field in Buffalo to accommodate to make state-of-the-art bullpens. So June 1st, hopefully, Toronto Blue Jays will be playing in Buffalo, and their first games will be against the Marlins and the Astros. After that, hopefully Toronto.
So basically, Dave was right because that was his spot, wasn't it? Wasn't he saying they'd be in Buffalo by June? And it looks like he's absolutely. See, when he's not even here, he's a legend.
That's when he's at his best. He just sort of, you know, drops a little piece of knowledge and then goes away.
Yeah, well, why doesn't that work for me? When I'm not here, you lot just slag me off and talk behind my back.
Okay, moving on. So here we are with trivia. We'll be on with the trivia.
Yeah, go on.
And the thing is, a lot of news, we'll be talking about this later, that the Dodgers and Padres rivalry is intensifyingly nicely. Thank you very much. And one of those people is Fernando Tatis, who's everyone's worried that he's, you know, he'd be back from injury, but not be the same. He's just as good as before he was injured. But my one thing, bear with me here, because one thing I have been noticing, I've been watching a few Padres games, and Fernando Tatis Jr. has been hitting pretty much in the leadoff spot, and every now and then they'll put him in the third spot in the batting lineup. And you just think, well, you know, he hits a lot of hits, but he also hits home runs, but primarily and predominantly he's been leadoff hitter for the Padres. And that got me thinking, well, who has a record for most hits as a leadoff batter? Hits only when they're in the leadoff position. This is where I'm going with here. Okay. So who has the most hits as leadoff? Is it A, Ricky Henderson? Or is it B, Pete Rose of Airplane fame almost? Or is it C, Ichiro?
Oh, bringing back the Ichiro answer. Bless.
Wow.
So that's it. Who has the most hits in the leadoff position?
Great question. I mean, that's a great question. Pete Rose, the guy that's got the most hits, guy's got the most stolen bases. That is a great lineup.
And I mean, you have the greatest leadoff hitter of all time is Ricky Henderson. Whether he has the most hits or not, I think it's a pretty easy argument to make.
But yeah, that's the thing.
Do you know that my overriding memory of Ricky Henderson, boys, was his incredible physique when he was like in his late 40s, and he used to bombast anybody that was out of shape, saying, you know, anybody can watch the TV and do 100 sit-ups while they're watching the TV, which is what I do on a regular basis.
You're missing the greatest element of Ricky Henderson, which is he spoke of himself in the third person.
That's right.
So if he had have told that story, he would have said, Ricky does a lot of work on his body. You don't do as much work as Ricky does. And that was really cool. He once told a story. It's like, Ricky once played with this player, this crazy cat who played first base and wore his helmet all the time when he was at first base. And he looks over at the player, and the player's like, that's me, Ricky. I'm John Olerud. He's like, Ricky didn't realize.
I find that, you think that's cool? I think that's disturbing. I've got visions of him saying, you know, Ricky wants a bit of a cuddle as he's talking to his wife. And I'm like, no, that's just wrong on every level.
Gouldy, it would be wrong. But Ricky Henderson is a transcendent human being. So
on that note, Eric says, moving on.
Right, we're off to the leadoff batter. And that is, of course, as always, the news roundup. So we've now moved the news, obviously, into this section and possibly the big news. And I know we touched on it last week, guys, the Padres-Dodgers rivalry. By Jove, is that intensifying? And is that the matchup that we all look forward to watching if you're a baseball neutral? But this week in particular, and you've already just referenced him, Fernando Tatis Jr. Is back. All those worries about his injuries. Well, I don't know why anybody injured. He seems to be back and he seems to be even better. But it is an amazing stat, this, that Fernando Tatis Sr., I can't believe this, hit two grand slams in the same inning, 22 years to the day that Junior hit two home runs of his own. Now, he was only 3 months old when his dad hit the two grand slams in the same inning, not just the same game, in the same inning. By Jove, I wish I'd had Senior on my fantasy baseball team. I mean, you just got to love it. This is just baseball royalty, isn't it, JC?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Fernando Tatis the elder didn't obviously have the career that we anticipate from Junior. But, you know, I know us as a group often talk about what are the unbreakable records, and you talk about career wins for Cy Young and factors like that. But I've got to believe that Tatis Sr.'s two grand slams in one inning will never be surpassed. You're never going to have three grand slams in one inning. I know we're talking about Junior, but that has to be recognized as one of the unbreakable, maybe tied records, certainly, but unbreakable records, yeah, up there with like Johnny Vandermeer and back-to-back no-hitters.
And you haven't even mentioned the streak. No one's going to get anywhere near to that.
I honestly think that's more likely than three grand slams in an inning from a single player.
Yeah,
we're all bases have to be loaded again the third time around you're at bat. Right?
Yeah. So. There is, and it hasn't been fully confirmed because it occurred so long. A player by the name of Josh DeVore, who allegedly stole 4 bases in 1 inning. And I think that's the record that may stand forever, right? Think about it, because you get on once and you steal 3 bases, then you have to get on again, steal again. If you're coming up twice in an inning, under the rules of, you know, the unwritten rules of baseball, you're not stealing bases at that point. Someone steals 5 bases in an inning, no way. So that's another one up there.
Wow. Okay. Now, we've been focusing on catchers already. We always do, just to keep you happy, JC. Well, what about Kurt Casale making shutout history for catchers? You must have loved this. Caught 5 consecutive shutouts.
Absolutely. You know, when we talk about catchers, often people pay a little too much attention to the offensive side. When you look at the players that have gone into the Hall of Fame, it's because they were offensive players. But the ability, I always called it riding the horse, the ability to ride the horse to the finish line and get a shutout and do it 5 straight times is remarkable. Because I don't think a lot of people who are casual fans realize how much preparation goes in to getting a pitcher ready to throw the type of game, particularly at the major league level, in order to succeed that many times with that many different pitchers. Each pitchers have different approaches to the way they throw. You're facing different batters in each of those instances. And the catcher is responsible for calling that game. So for a catcher to be able to do that 5 straight times is fantastic for the catcher, but also speaks volumes right now of the type of team you're looking at with the San Francisco Giants. I mean, you have pitchers who are a lot of reclamation projects, guys like Alex Wood. I mean, Johnny Cueto, who has been injured again, but, you know, had a few bad years after being so great. Kevin Gausman. And all of a sudden, these guys are really top form. And if they're going to continue to do so, you're going to need a catchers, whether it's Casale or Posey, really helping them to maintain that success.
Yeah, it's one of those rare occasions, JC, where I'm really glad we have done it, because, you know, you talk about a shutout, you talk about a no-hitter, a perfect game. It's obviously the pitcher that gets all the attention, gets all the praise. And yet you've just made the point that it's not going to happen without a catcher that calls a great game. But they're the sort of unsung heroes, aren't they?
Absolutely. Always. I loved playing catcher, right? It was the position where if you worked really hard, even if you probably weren't as talented as, you know, other players up the middle, the shortstop, the center fielder, you could find a place for yourself. And you look at a guy like Casale, who isn't necessarily a star, who is making a huge impact on his team.
Well, long may it continue, certainly for my good mate Mike Dowling, of course, UK's number one Giants fan, who told me at the beginning of the season these Giants are going to be competitive, despite being in the nightmare league that is the National League West with the Dodgers and the Padres. By Jove, they are a surprise, but they're not the only one, are they, boys? I mean, the Royals, even the Mariners. What about the A's? They start out 0-6. I know we expected them to be competitive, so that was the surprise that they had such a horrifically cold start. But now, As of the time of recording of this show, they've gone 12 straight wins. They are the form team in baseball. What's going on the West Coast, JC? Is it just because it's warm? Mariners, Oakland A's, Dodgers, Padres?
Yeah, I mean, all the talent is in California at the moment. And the thing about the A's is the only surprise was that they started 0-6. It's not that they've had this run, right? They were the team that won the division last year. And their front office is impeccable. They make really good calls on players. And it's not just Billy Bean. It's also David Force, who's the general manager, former teammate of mine. Really great, hard-charging baseball player. We played together in summer ball, and then he went off to Harvard. And really talented front office. I think the Tampa Bay Rays is the real one competitor when it comes to being really keen discerners of talent. And that's difference making. I mean, I really do think that, you don't need to spend the money if you really have that great an eye and sense of talent.
Of course, the West Coast argument sort of falls down when you start looking at Colorado, who are 7-12, got the worst record in the NL West. And actually, the Angels got off to a decent start. We never really give the Angels any love. That's all gone a bit tits up. I know they've lost their last 3. They're now batting 500, 9-9, with Oakland and Seattle pulling away. But there does something to be had for this whole concept of the warmer climes of the West Coast compared to the colder climes of elsewhere, certainly Central America and East Coast.
Well, Central America, really? They're playing in Honduras? That's good news. No,
sorry. Well, when I say Central America,
the Midwest, as they call it, the middle part of the United States. Yeah. You know, obviously, one of the things about baseball that they always say is that at the start of the season, pitchers are ahead of hitters. And the primary reason for that is that, you know, hitters in the cold weather really struggle. Pitchers can get warm enough and they don't get injured. They tend to have an advantage. When you're playing on the West Coast, different. And I think one of the reasons for this, particularly when you're looking at the National League West, is the competition is so good that you raise your game. It really does make a difference. You know, when you've got the Darvishes and the Musgroves on one side, and you got Walker Buehler and Trevor Bauer and Clayton Kershaw, and, you know, when you're looking at the Giants, you're like, okay, we got to raise our game too. And it changes your whole perception and approach to the game when you know from day one that your margin of error is so low. And so I think that some of this has to do with being in such a strong division. And then you get to play a team like Colorado or the Diamondbacks that allows you, when you have that attitude, to really do better than you might do under other circumstances.
Okay. Well, somebody who was doing great was our dear friend, Akil Badu. It's time for the Badu Watch. And actually, before we even start with it, I certainly owe a young man an apology. We had a great suggestion for a name that we particularly liked, which was A View to Akil. And that was courtesy of our good friend Craig, who got in touch with us because I couldn't find the tweet, so I never gave him a name check. Craig's Twitter handle is @CraigR. So, Craig, thank you for your support of the show. It was a great name. I had somebody actually contact me. I obviously said it too quickly, A View to Akil, which was, of course, your suggestion. Somebody came back to, and they thought that I said Badu to Akil, as in the proper one, but Badu instead of A View, which sort of works as well.
Also
so
works.
It sort of works. It's the strap line that keeps on giving. But what's happening, Eric? What's happening with my dear friend Akil, who, by the way, I'm just trying to pick him up. I don't know yet whether I've been successful off the waiver wire. Somebody's dropped him. Somebody's lost the love for Akil, but it's not me. How's he getting on?
Well, since we were last on air, if that, you could say that with the podcast last on air, he went 3 for 13. You know, not bad, but not great. With 3 runs, 2 RBIs, which is no, exactly. It's not great numbers. But then he played a game today. Here's the thing: they've been playing Akil Badu in the 7th spot in the lineup, but AJ Hinch decided in today's game against the Royals, they're going to put him higher up in the batting order. So they placed him second in the batting order. And
wow.
And what happened? He went 0-for-4, 3 strikeouts. So I think the jinx is on. I think we've actually jinxed Akil Badu on this side of the Atlantic, and certainly from Dubai, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he's a big purveyor of our podcast. So, you know.
Yeah, well, you don't need to be.
I don't know if you could jinx someone unless they even know you exist.
The vibes go across the Atlantic. Yeah. And it affects his karma.
The butterfly effect.
JC, when I'm sticking needles into my JC Voodledel, you don't have to be near me for it to be effective.
I'm afraid it's working, Gouldy, so could you please stop it?
You've had a tough week, haven't you,
buddy? It's a bad week. I've had a tough week.
No one knows this except for us. You've had a bad week. Tell us, why has it been such a bad week, big guy?
Things. Oh. They don't want to hear my guard. No one comes onto the podcast to hear us.
Well, all I could say,
as my people say, kvetch.
You deserve and need a lot of love, and you're going to get it from all of us. You have had a tough week, particularly on the curling front. I'm not,
what is
not
this?
Happy about that.
Dr. Phil, all of a sudden, what is this?
Yeah. Hey, where are my tissues? I've got to dot my eyes.
You know, it's amazing, this guy's. I've always thought I was going to get into radio one day, and I was going to give it the deep voice, and I was going to go by the strap line, Dr. Love. Tell me your problems. Do you think that's going to work? Do you think, or do I just get run out of?
You could have done a jazz FM.
If only I knew jazz. If only I listened to jazz. Yeah, it's a great idea. It's
exactly.
A great idea.
You got the voice for jazz.
Okay, well, I tell you, somebody who's being jazzy. How about that for a sensei? No, for a swegway. A swegway? No. Can I just say it's almost 2 a.m, so you're going to need to apologize.
Jacob bringing DeGrom, your A game.
The legend that is, without a shadow of doubt, no offense to, I don't know, Garrett Cole or anybody else, but right now, DeGrom is the man. He is the GOAT. 50 Ks already. He's got more RBIs than he has allowed earned runs. How about that for
a stat? You could have had a great transition, right? Because I think the only person to have hit a home run off of DeGrom this year, if I'm right, maybe there was another one, was Jazz Chisholm. So there is a Jazz in his life.
There was. So
but I mean, DeGrom has been amazing. I mean, just absolutely amazing. He may be on pace to potentially surpass Nolan Ryan, who has the single season strikeout record of all time. And not of all time, since the 20th century. In the 1800s, there were a lot of these crazy strikeout pitchers. But, you know, such a dominating pitcher. And it's great to see him have a team around him that could potentially allow him to win games. Because that's always been really the knock, is that DeGrom's been amazing, but he hasn't had a team that's given him an offense. And I know Lindor hasn't been great so far. And I'm sure that if David were here, he would be wringing his hands about how the Mets aren't living up to potential yet. But I think as the season goes along, you know, this may be the final of the year where he gets the wins to match all the other metrics that show he's so amazing.
Well, of course, the Mets are top of the NL East. But the trouble is, the NL East is stinking up the place big time. They're the only one with a winning record, 8-7, as we went to recording tonight. The Braves and the Phillies are both on their tail, 9-10 records. Miami, 8-11. So they're only 2.5 games back. Two games back from the Mets. And Washington have started to pick it up a bit. So that one's really competitive, but competitive amongst each other, but not competitive in the league. But at least the Mets are winning sufficiently to be top of the division. And with a guy like that, I mean, that's what we've been saying throughout, isn't he? Is how unfair it is to be that good and to be constantly not getting a win decision because your team's not giving you run support. But I love the fact that he does it with the bat as well, with the ball. You know, he's doing his bit offensively as he is defensively. I think he's phenomenal. Yeah. I can't believe how good he is.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a smooth swing. If you look at it, it's pretty nice. It's pretty technically sound.
And okay. Another case not to bring back the universal DH.
Yes, agreed. Yeah. You agree. Well, we're all a bit different on that one, aren't we? Anyway, DeGrom is DeGoat. That's the new nickname. Let's hope he doesn't get jinxed as our dear friend Akil has been by our involvement. And
Gouldy, what's been lost on it too is that Marcus Stroman has been amazing, lights out for them as well. So, you know, if you have DeGrom and Stroman and Stroman keeps his level of performance up, that's going to be a tough team.
Nice 1-2 punch. Here's my favorite piece of news that's come out this week in Major League Baseball. In Chicago, south side Chicago, might I add, the White Sox, Yermin Mercedes has now have a burger named after him. There's a restaurant called Fabulous Freddy's in Southside, and they've devised this amazing fine cuisine hamburger that I've ever seen. I was salivated when I went on the Fabulous Freddy's website. And it's a chimichurri burger, which is chimichurri, for those who are who don't know, it's a South American kind of sauce with parsley and oregano. Yes, oregano, not oregano. And a few dollops of garlic that adds added on with a subtle hint of red wine vinegar as well, all piled up into this grilled meat of a burger, and it's called the Yerminator Burger. Found as so, anybody who is listening, if you're in the South Side Chicago area, please go and order one and let me know. Give me a full cuisine report, culinary report. I want to know what this Yerminator Burger tastes like.
Eric honestly,
sorry, buddy.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, Eric, you really should be doing a food podcast, because honestly, you made me so hungry just telling that description the way you said. Gouldy should be doing jazz radio, and you should be just talking about food somewhere.
I'd be obese within a week.
Guys, do you know how many times I've been asked by listeners, viewers down the years, is Eric on a take? Does he get a discount because he sells that food? And the truth of the matter is, we never even contemplated doing those food pieces on the road trips back in the day in Channel 5, but you were up for it and you got a free meal every single time. Oh, I don't remember a single guy ever charging you for the food that you ate, Eric.
Eric was like a confidence man. He would go up to people and be like, I remember when he got the Ichi roll, and he's just like, hey, look at my camera and I'm doing this. And, you know, pure, he could have sold the guy's swampland in Alaska. Like, I mean, that's, when it comes to food, he's like in a different mindset where he'll do whatever it takes.
Moving on.
Well, our second batter in the inning is by the name of Jay Bruce, who has signaled his retirement from the game of baseball. There's a good article in the Sports Illustrated on this very subject. And the big question is, JC, is Jay Bruce MLB's version of a canary in a coal mine, as in indicating of problems down the road. Another reason batting averages are down, and apparently his career, or his desire to see his career out and maybe have another couple of seasons, has now been put on the back burner. It is primarily down to the impact the shift has had on his batting average, and across the board batting averages are down. So is this justification for a reconsidering of the shift and the defensive alignment, et cetera, et cetera? Does baseball have a problem?
The article did a really great job of breaking down the analytics on how it's impacting players' careers, how certain players who are dead pull hitters, lefties, are just, you know, getting swallowed up in the black hole that is the shift. Me personally, I think change, you know, change the way you approach the game. Baseball is a game of adjustments. And when people are wringing their hands and saying, well, let's not allow the game to change. Let's get away from any sort of new efforts to do things differently. No, when people come up with innovation, you need to innovate back. And there was a great quote on Twitter from Alex Wood, who's pitching for the San Francisco Giants right now, former Dodger, is having a bit of a resurgence. And what he said was, and this was the quote from the tweet, if you want to know why the game is changing, it's because hard work is no longer as big of an advantage as it used to be. It's more of a requirement to succeed / last than it is a separator. You have to innovate / take risks to gain an edge now. And I think Alex Wood is spot on with that description. Rather than trying to roll back the clock and change innovation, you need to come up with a way to counter innovation.
I'm with you 100%. Sport should be dynamic. It should always be looking to develop, and just illegalizing something because they do it well, I just think it's ridiculous.
It's a bit ironic because when it comes to pitchers, they are expected over the course of their career to make changes, right? You have these guys who come in as flamethrowers, and yeah, as their career develops, they need to learn a second pitch, a third pitch. They need to learn how to change speeds better. Their abilities change, so they have to change the way they act. But for some reason, we seem to think for hitters, if you're a dead pull left-handed hitter who's relied on launch angle to hit 30 home runs a year, and all of a sudden that doesn't work for you anymore because you're hitting 130 along with your 8 home runs, then learn how to go the other way. Change your swing, break it down, and redevelop.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Well, moving on, one more thing before we close out this segment. Another one who's retiring, who announced his retirement this week, is Neil Walker. Now, Neil Walker, not a superstar, but handy in his day, had a few good seasons, 12 seasons in Major League Baseball. He's, at the age of 35, announced his retirement. Same kind of reason, he's felt that the game has evolved more than he can handle. He can't teach an old dog new tricks. But one thing he will be remembered for, and his not so illustrious career, but a handy career, is he'll be the only player who did a triple play that involved a 4-5-4 on your scorecard, meaning he caught the line drive, he threw to
at second base, so four at second base.
He caught a line drive at second base, threw to third before the third,
which is number five,
and then the third baseman threw back at him to second base before the runner came back. So the only player in Major League Baseball to do a 4-5-4 triple play was Neil Walker. Not unassisted, of course. But
that's the beauty of baseball, right? That someone knows that. That someone has a log to be able to tell us that. That is just the anorak nature of baseball, that there's no statistic under the sun that hasn't been somehow memorialized so that later we can figure out whether it has or hasn't occurred.
And those are my kind of people. Moving on.
Okay, we move on to the third ballot. This isn't a big subject, guys, but I do want to get JC's thoughts on this. I sort of touched on it earlier doors. It's the contrast between April, the first month of the season, we're almost at the end of that, the sort of middle of the summer and the dog days of August towards October. And obviously with the first month now ending, it is really interesting to look at some of the different hitters that one have started really cold. I'm thinking someone like Lindor, with his new contract at the Mets. I think his batting average at the moment is about 204, so he's right on the Mendoza line. Or those that have started really hot, the likes of Justin Turner, not exactly a young man out in LA with the Dodgers, batting average in his first month, 379. Now, is it a coincidence? Lindor, New York Mets, East Coast, still pretty cold. Justin Turner, LA, Dodgers, West Coast, nice and warm. Is that the big factor, JC? What is it about why some start cold? You know, should I be panicking, for instance? If I've got Lindor and I've spent a fortune on him in my fantasy baseball team, should I be panicking? Should I be looking to trade and get rid of him? Or is it about it's a seasonal thing?
I mean, I alluded to it a little earlier that to some extent that is a factor, that hitters do start a little slower in colder weathers. But I've talked about this for years since we were back on Channel 5, which is the concept of the regression to the mean, which is that if you give enough games and you give enough at bats, players will get to where they're meant to be. And sometimes you're just going to have a role early in the season, whenever you're seeing the ball well, you know, you're facing pitchers who just their style aligns a little better with your ability to get hits. There are just so many factors that really lead to success and failure in a short period. But if you are able to extend, and this is a beauty of baseball, right? 162 games, you get a proper reflection of a player's ability and performance. So my feeling about it is you shouldn't panic if you have Lindor, and you shouldn't think that all of a sudden Turner is going to be flirting with 400. It doesn't work that way, is that you find your space, you find the player you are. Now, all that's possible, right? The players fall off the edge at a certain point in their career. There's a psychological piece that's really huge to this, right? If you're struggling at the start of the year, it's sometimes hard to dig your way out of that hole. You start pressing more. And if you start off well, it gives you a little bit more of a padding, a little more confidence. But overall, give yourself some time.
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it? Because I think one player that always strikes me as a cold starter, but always incredibly hot in the second half, is Jose Ramirez. You know, obviously in Cleveland, which is a pretty cold place. And yet it doesn't seem to affect pitchers in the same way. I mean, you've just been talking early doors about the two, you know, the 1-2 punch with the Mets, you know, DeGrom and Stroman. And it's pretty damn cold there, but it doesn't affect their performance. They're still playing fantastically well. So is this a hitter thing rather than a baseball thing?
I do think so, because I think with hitters, right, you're in the field, you're getting cold, then you come in and you're swinging a bat in cold weather. You may not have warmed up, especially if you haven't had a lot of plays in the field. So it's easier to sort of slow down your bat. Whereas with pitchers, right, you get your warm-up pitches, you're going through a process that is the same. There's a consistency to the way you're approaching how you're doing things that make it easier for you to repeat in a way that's different from hitters.
Great stuff, JC. Well, we'll revisit this perhaps during the dog days of August, which certainly from a fantasy perspective is always the nightmare month for me. I do struggle, so it's good to know the players are struggling.
I think it's the start of the year too, because you panic. There is no one who tilts more, anyone who knows anything about poker terms, than you. Well, someone goes back, like, I got to get rid of him. I need someone new. And then at the end of the season, you're like actually doing okay. And then you're like, I'm brilliant. I'm going to figure out how to, you know, win this whole thing. And neither of those concepts for you work.
Buddy, I think you're talking about the Johnny Gould's pre-double title winning champion year.
Okay, moving on again.
The post.
Where's the waffle? Get the waffle. I got my money rule.
I'm trying to do a waffle-free show here. Let's go. Moving on.
Right, let's move on. Seventh inning stretch. And I'm certainly giving it that because it's 2 a.m. I don't know if I've mentioned that. And over to you, Eric. Baseball book of the week.
No, today is just going to be baseball pub culture. And I'm going to do a special special COVID and pub culture, and not try to bring the whole show down and not try to make it too serious, but not try to make fun of COVID either at the same time. Because I thought I'd just take this opportunity to reflect on a year of COVID. And not many of you, I don't think you guys know this, but I'm feeling a little rough today. Because I had my second Pfizer jab and I'm still feeling the effects of it. Luckily, all it feels like right now is that I'm irritable and groggy, which is, I'm like that anyways on this show with you guys anyway, right? So it just feels like a major hangover at the moment, the way I feel right now. And I'm surprised I'm able to soldier on to do this podcast because that's the kind of guy.
Honestly, boohoo. When I had my second jab, I went and curled. And had one of my best games of the season. Seriously. Yeah. Like,
you're a gamer,
step it up.
Because you're exactly. Suck it up.
You do
Eric.
The same thing, Gouldy. I mean, we got to deal with Eric here.
I'm not complaining. This is the worst I feel. Trust me. It's like, I think I should.
What does this have to do with pop culture? Let's get to
exactly. I should get a medal for dealing with you guys. You're the ones extending this segment, not me. Now, I just thought we'd reflect on people we've lost that is connected with baseball. and pop culture over the year. And we've already mentioned many of them over the, sadly, many of them over the years, over the past year since we started doing the podcast. And of course, one of them would be Jay Johnston, who was a former Dodger, one of the few people to win a World Series with the Yankees and the Dodgers. And passed away quite a few months ago from COVID. But did you know that he's also in Naked Gun, in that scene with the Angels and Mariners? Jay Johnston is actually makes an appearance as a baseball player where the Queen Elizabeth II was in attendance, if you can all remember as well. We also lost Tom Seaver, who, of course, Mets a legend. Tom Terrific, as it was known. Of course, he's named Tom Terrific after a cartoon, popular cartoon that was in the 60s, but we also lost Tom Seaver to COVID-19. We lost Larry King, who was my segue here is he was a big Brooklyn Dodgers fan, but my book of the week, if you can, I'll just throw this out. Larry King wrote a book of Why I Love Baseball. Such a simple title. But Why I Love Baseball by Larry King is another one that should be on your baseball bookshelf.
And he was a famous talk show host in the
year. And a famous talk show host. Yeah, who didn't know Larry King? Of course, you know. But that's Larry King. We also lost Don Wells. And I don't think Gilligan's Island was very popular on this side of the Atlantic. But Don Wells played Marianne in Gilligan's Island. The ongoing debate of Marianne or Ginger still soldiers on to this day.
And what's the baseball connection?
Baseball connection is that that Dave Langille and myself, we feel like the professor and Marianne because when we and the rest.
So you basically fancied her. Is that what you're saying? You
no, just no. Want to get a reference.
Literally, there was no relevance for this show.
Exactly. And if that's the criteria, JC, we're here all night. If you're going to be talking about people.
And also because I was in that Marianne camp when it came to the Ginger Marianne debate. Another one. Lastly, Steve Dulkowski. Ring a bell? He's the guy. Nice. He's a minor league player who was the inspiration
Phenom.
For Nuke LaLoosh, played by Tim Robbins was my ring?
Bull Durham.
I was about to say the Natural. Tim Robbins in Bull Durham.
Bull Durham. Yeah.
His inspiration was for his Nuke LaLoosh character was Steve Dulkowski, who was also the inspiration for Brendan Fraser's character in The Scout.
Well, Dulkowski, though, never made it back to the major leagues, or if he did, it was very brief. He just had amazing speed with zero accuracy and wasn't quite the character that Nuke LaLoosh, the Tim Robbins character, was. But
and I'm assuming also he didn't wear women's underwear whilst pitching. He didn't have a suspender belt.
Maybe. We don't know.
We don't know. Okay.
Don't besmirch his good name.
We lost him exactly a year ago today. So he's one of the first victims of when the COVID started rearing his ugly head. And lastly, one thing I just want to get out on a more serious note as well. We lost Hank Aaron a few weeks ago, but not because of COVID, but there was vicious rumors circulating after because Hank Aaron died about 2 weeks after he got his first COVID vaccine, and and his death had nothing to do with his jab. But of course, all these conspiracy theorists were going, "Oh, he died because of the vaccine. No one should take the vaccine." And it claimed Hank Aaron and all these conspiracy. I'm not even going to name the groups or the people who spread that ugly rumor. But just to set it straight, Hank Aaron died of natural causes. He actually took the jab just to inspire the Black community in Fulton County and Georgia to take the jab as well, because the Black community was a little apprehensive at first, and then he wanted to be the spokesperson, and then sadly, just unrelated, he died a few weeks later. And that sort of ends my seventh-inning stretch.
That was depressing.
I was going to say, it's a pretty sad seventh-inning stretch, which is normally not exactly part of the show. We'll remember them all with great love, and I'm glad you finished off with
we don't bring you on the show.
Exactly.
Now misunderstood his reason for being here, JC.
One final thing. Another person we lost, unrelated to baseball, David Prowse, Darth Vader, was claimed by COVID earlier this year as well. So moving on, I had to segue back to a cheery way back of the show. Let's use trivia, shall we?
Sure.
We're too depressed to care.
Oh my God.
All these lovely people now, we've lost.
I know. Tom, terrific.
Could you just give me a moment? I'm just going to go off and sit down for a couple of minutes.
Yeah. Need to catch my breath.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the pandemic is behind us and we'll be back to normality come playoff time. Let's see. But moving on back to the trivia question that I posed earlier, that we did talk about Fernando Tatis earlier, now that the Padres are playing around with him being the leadoff batter and all that. But which of these three players hit the most base hits when playing in the leadoff position? Was it A, Ricky Henderson? Was it B, Pete Rose? Or was it C, Ichiro?
Well, I don't think it's Ichiro, because as great as his career was, and he did get over 3,000 hits, he didn't play as long as the other two in the bigs. I'm going to go with Ricky Henderson, just because he was the greatest leadoff hitter. I know Rose batted in a number of other locations. He did bat leadoff quite a bit, but a lot of other locations. It's a tough one, right? Because he had so many hits that it's possible that he got it. But I'll go with Ricky and give Gouldie Rose.
Okay. I'm going to maintain that that Ichiro did play pretty much every game in the leadoff position. That helps your...
No, that is true, but his career was fewer seasons than the other.
Okay, so what were your final answers? What were your final answers again?
Yeah, I'll go with Rose just simply because he was the hits leader, but I'm aware that he didn't always play leadoff, so that might have a big impact. But I personally think probably Josh is right, but I'll go with Pete Rose.
It's got to be Ichiro the way Eric's acting.
Because I'm including his Japanese hits too. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah, if you do that.
All right, here are the answers. All right, so in no particular order, because I like doing no particular order because it causes tension. Pete Rose had 2,924 hits in the leadoff position.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, feeling good for you, Gouldie.
Ichiro had 2,529.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Second. So at least
worst case scenario. Well deduced.
Yeah. As long as I got that one.
Ricky Henderson, 3,020. So
that feels good. 96 feels good.
Okay, well, let's move on swiftly. We've got the mailbag. As always, it's great to get in touch with the show. We do want to hear from you. We've got our Facebook, Johnny and Josh Show. We've got our Facebook site, so do subscribe to that. And obviously on Twitter at Johnny and Josh, we want to hear from you.
Point down.
And we. No, it's down below, is it? Okay, there we go.
There's subscribers over there and then like down here. Yeah.
Okay, we need you to subscribe. We need you to like. I've no idea what any of that means. It's all social media. I'll tell you who has got in touch, and that's Andy Hart, at AJ Hart. Thank you for getting in touch, Andy. We were talking about the Yankees and stinking up. Why? Why the Yankees? Bottom of the division. And his tweet was poor defense, under average all around the infield, lineup full of home run hitters that aren't hitting any home runs, home run or strikeout approach at the plate, only one reliable starting pitcher going deep into games, which is obviously Coley. Is that pretty much sums it up, JC? Do you feel Andy's nailed it?
I mean, going back to regression of the mean, I think they're going to be better as the season goes along. I do worry about their pitching. They really are relying on guys like, you know, Corey Kluber, who were going to be a question mark coming into the season. So they're going to need to figure out their pitching. I think the hitting will come around. But we should talk about the Boston Red Sox, because that team has been one of the surprise packages. Not to me, although I did say that the old Red Sox fan in me expected them to fall apart, but they have been a much better team than expected.
Any other social media posts that you've spotted, JC?
Yeah, I wanted to just give a shout out to Tom Millen. That's at @T_Millen, MILEN. Tom, if I got it wrong, let me know. He's asking us, like, what's happening with the Royals? We don't give them any love, and they deserve a tremendous amount of love. And I just want to personally give a shout out to the Royals. I used to work representing baseball players. I was an agent for a number of years, and he was the one general manager who I ever got to spend any reasonable amount of time with. Usually, when I was negotiating contracts, it'd be people a couple levels below. I wasn't representing Jacob DeGrom. And Dade Moore is just a fantastic human being, and his whole organization sort of has that approach. And you saw in this offseason when they gave a contract to Salvador Perez, who most people thought it was way outside of market value, but it was because of what he had meant to the team and that he deserved to be paid for that. Something that you don't see teams do. It tends to be far more Machiavellian. And the fact that they did that, and you get Carlos Santana, who I really think is one of those underrated baseball players, isn't hit for average, but walks a ton, home runs, and just seems to be a real team guy. They understand how to build a team. I don't know if they're the same type of talent evaluator. We're talking about the A's and the Rays, but there is a cohesiveness and a family element to that that really should make anyone want to root for that team. So I'm happy that the Royals were brought up. Tom, thank you for bringing them up.
And also the best barbecue ballpark food in Major League Baseball. Oh my God, the burnt ends and the oh my God. Do you remember when we had the pulled pork sandwiches in Kauffman Stadium? Oh my God.
Yeah, well, I have to say, of all the ballparks we went to, and maybe that's what we do next, because I was trying to work it out. I mean, I've been to about 21. How many of you guys been to?
I've never counted, but really high. Yeah.
Because I have to say, of the 21 that I've been to, I definitely would put Kansas as one of my favorite ones. Definitely.
Kansas City.
Really enjoyed it.
Kansas City, not Kansas.
Sorry, Kansas City. I apologize. I always used to get in trouble for that.
Kansas City is in Missouri, not Kansas. People forget.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for getting in touch. Thank you to Tom. And thank you, obviously, to Andy Hart, to Peter Ramsey. We'd love to hear from you. And don't forget, we've got other podcasts in the stable that is Ted Fred. If you're into your fantasy, and it's not just fantasy, it's baseball, then do join me and James Holden, the fantasy baseball legend, Mr. Holden, in the best seats in the house behind home plate. That's at BHP Pod on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. Do get in touch. Do listen in. We've got other shows as well. One of them, of course, involves our very own Eric, Slapshot Smack Talk. Love that name. At Slapshot Talk is the Twitter handle. And don't forget, of course, Nat Coombs' show, the NFL show.
At
NC, as in Nat Coombs.
No, it is.
The NC show.
At the NC show is where you can find Nat Coombs.
The NC show. Absolutely. Absolutely. And our thanks, as always, to Nat and the team for their support of us here on the Johnny and Josh Show. Don't forget, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. You know it. You do it. Subscribe, like, get involved, and get in touch. Well, that's it from us, guys. It's just looking at my watch. It's coming up to 2:20 in the morning in Dubai. What are you boys going to do? Go off some supper? Maybe go out to the movies?
No, it's Goody,
I'll give you kudos for your commitment. You get the Miller Lite player of the game.
Well, buddy, did you notice that obviously we're a podcast, but I am still wearing. I brought my Braves top all the way to Dubai. Neither of you mentioned my black armband, as you can see on my arm.
Just noticed it.
Because I spent $71 on Juan Soto, and he's on the IL. And that's why I've got the armband on. But I'm not, you know, I'm not obsessed.
Wrap it up, Goldie.
Yes. Now I wish I had a waffle here.
Boys, I love you. As always, been great chatting. Thank you very much for joining us. Big wave to everybody, and a huge thanks to all the listeners of the Johnny and Josh Show. We look forward to having your company, hopefully with Big Dave next time. Until then, you stay safe and stay well.